It may happen one day. It happened to me. There's something about almost dying that changes you. At age 23, a violent storm sank my sailboat a couple miles offshore in Hawaii. I struggled for my life for 3 hours in turbulent, shark-rich waters. When I was at my most vulnerable, watching my sailboat disappear under the waves, I learned something that not only changed the way I see our one precious life, it changed my relationship with the natural world. The swim that changed me. I was studying to get a PhD in marine biology at the University of Hawaii, Manoa. And Hawaii is an expensive place to live, so I got creative and figured out how to get by, purchase a $900 rusty old sailboat, and live on it. So I became the owner of a small 20-foot-long house with sails. I couldn't afford an instructor, so I got the next best thing, sailing for dummies. You know, mind you, I knew how bad, embarrassing it looked reading it on the deck of my boat for all the world to see, so I read it either at night or disguised in another book's cover. I felt like I was a pretty quick learner, and I had many adventures on that sailboat. Some of the more memorable included beautiful and peaceful encounters with tons of marine megafauna. Imagine, whales breaching close enough to touch. I was living the dream, until I wasn't. One morning, my friend asked if we could go sailing on the open ocean. She knew nothing about sailing, and I'd only had the boat a few months. I was woefully unprepared, sailing for dummies. But that didn't stop me from saying yes. I had gained some confidence on the water, and we naively thought it would be a fun adventure to learn the ropes together. We took off that morning in strong winds and what seemed like really big waves for the generally calm bay we were in. What I didn't realize is that we were sailing into the storm of the decade, and I hadn't even bothered to check the weather. As we exited the relative protection of the bay through the channel that cut between the reefs, the waves were much bigger than I had been expecting. I didn't decide to turn around until I was fully out of the channel. The problem was that the channel had closed out just as we exited. That meant the massive waves were now breaking in the channel. A breaking wave is far trickier to navigate than rolling waves. Essentially, we didn't have a way back. Looking back toward the island, there was nothing but white foam as far as the eye could see. I didn't know my way back. My navigation skills were weak at this point. I wasn't prepared for re-entering a channel like this, but I had to try. I turned the boat toward home and knew our best chance was going to be using the engine to plow our way back through the waves. I pulled the string to start the engine, only to find the motor was flooded and dead. I'd have to navigate the return home with only my somewhat awkward skills with the sails and with a person who knew less about sailing than I did. I tried to sail back into the channel, turning the boat with each wave to hit it head on. That worked for a few waves. Then one fateful wave hit us sideways and swept me off the boat. Now I was 2 miles offshore in a storm, looking at my boat sailing away as my friend held onto the rigging on the side. I screamed and swam with all my energy, but I couldn't get to the boat. Neither of us was wearing a life jacket. I felt the full weight of my clothes and was struggling to stay afloat. Among the crashing waves, I caught a glimpse of my friend, feet in the water, still holding onto the boat. She was somehow able to climb back on, but now she was on a runaway sailboat heading toward the 15 to 20 foot breaking waves on the sides of the channel. Then the unthinkable happened. As I floated there, I watched my 20 foot sailboat with my friend on the bow get tossed like a rag doll, end over end in the breaking waves. I knew in my gut there was no way anyone could survive that. One second it was there, and the next the boat had snapped in two and sunk. Everyone and everything was gone. I tried to swim toward the boat, now maybe a quarter mile away, but it didn't take many 15-foot waves to realize I was going to drown if I kept going that way. I turned and started swimming back toward the shore. I was a competitive open water swimmer at that stage in my life, so I felt I could swim the 2 miles to shore if I had to. So I put my head down, took off the rest of my clothes, minus my boxers, which I tied around my ankle, and started swimming. 45 minutes into my swim, I realized that the buoys I should have been passing were doing something funny. Mind you, it was a torrential downpour, salt was stinging my eyes, so it was hard for me to see the shore. But it struck me that I had been looking at the same buoy this whole time. I hadn't been getting closer to shore. I was being swept out to sea. At that point, I saw there was only one buoy left. It was my last chance. If I didn't make it to that buoy, I was a dead man. I would be swept out to sea to drown in a storm in the middle of the ocean. Not good. I could see it. It was right there, but it took another 20 minutes of swimming as hard as I possibly could to get to that massive 20-foot beast of a marker. Somehow I got on it and held on for 2 hours as the wind and rain pelted my mostly naked body. I did put those boxer shorts back on. Anything I would have used to contact or signal for help was on the boat. The phone, emergency beacon, whistles, and flares were all useless now. But I knew I was on a navigation marker leading out from the naval base on shore. I thought, what if they're somehow listening? So I broke a piece of metal from the navigation buoy and started pounding SOS in Morse code on the channel marker, hoping the Navy station nearby might hear it. FYI, this is how you do it. 3 taps close together, 3 far apart, 3 close. Easy. No one heard my SOS signal, but as fate would have it, a buddy of mine who knew I was heading out to sea that day had already hopped in his outrigger canoe to check on us. As he paddled out, he found my friend floating on a life jacket that had emerged from the boat wreckage. They were able to flag down the only other boat on the channel and get a cell phone to call in the emergency. 3 hours into this ordeal, I was naked, afraid, thinking I had killed another person through my ignorance, and suffering from mild hypothermia. The rain was so heavy I couldn't see the shore, and it was so loud that I doubted myself when I started hearing helicopters and boats. Once they spotted me, a jet ski with surf-saving boards on the back was deployed by the naval base nearby. I climbed to the top of the buoy, waving and yelling, "Thank you, Navy." The storm was still in full force. Even though they could see me, I still had to find a way to jump to the rescue vessel in one of the gaps between the huge waves that were pounding the buoy. Miraculously, I was able to leap and grab on with enough time to speed away before the next wave clobbered us. 10 minutes of ups and downs that felt like a roller coaster ride got us inside the bay. It was then that they slowed down to tell me my friend was safe. I felt an overwhelming sense of gratitude and relief. We were alive. We had survived. After that day, I viewed the world differently. I was in awe of its power, not as an adversary, but knowing I am part of this thing we call nature. It was an awakening to mortality for a starry-eyed kid who lived and breathed a life of longing to return to the wild. And I have carried this feeling with me to a lifetime of adventures ever since. I learned respect for what I cannot control, how to weigh and minimize risk in the places I love most, the great outdoors, how to prepare for the unknown, to become captain safety for myself and others, and I definitely learned to check the weather. I hope you enjoyed that little snippet. There's lots more in the new book that I've written. You can get the Audible version of it, or you can get it in print form, which is, it's a really nice little book. Thanks for listening.